This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
I'm Andy Mack filling in for Warren, and I have another guest interview already. Welcome, Chris Zaya from Lonely Planet.
Andy, good to meet you.
Good to meet you.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm very good.
Excellent.
Thank you. I'm a big fan of Lonely Planet. I live next door to where the offices used to be.
In Footscray?
Yeah, right.
Oh, so you've got the big freeway that's going straight past you. So
yeah, not that close.
I entered the world of Lonely Planet by entering that building, which is quite famous down in Footscray. It's an old warehouse. There are about 400 of us that worked in that space at the one point in time. You know, this was also, you know, a lot of pre, you know, I still had a mail tray. So it was a really interesting space to work. So
yeah, I bet. Now, we have you here because it's great to see you, and you're going to talk about travel. There is a new Lonely Planet Best in Travel for 2026.
2027. Apparently, I'm fast forwarding another year. 2026. Yes, we do. Every kind of travel brand that's worth its salt does a list of where to go in the year to come. And this is our 18th edition of this particular list, which is called Best in Travel. And this year, we've done something a little bit different in that we've split the list into two lists of 25.
Right.
So one set of destinations and then one set of experiences that you would do in a destination.
Awesome.
So we've cut the thing a little bit differently. But what I really love is the premise of the product stays the same, which is it's always about where is it going to be really interesting to travel to in the year to come, rather than looking at those things about what are the most livable cities or the most popular cities to kind of travel to and all that sort of stuff. That's not us. We're all about kind of like plucking out the quirky and the interesting and the maybe the slightly under the radar destinations.
Well, of this list of 50 places, you've been involved in picking some of them and have some special knowledge. Please, I do. Please share. So, Spill the tea.
I wasn't on the judging panel this year, so it was a really interesting kind of situation to kind of be sat behind and actually waiting for the list to come out as well. We call it internally like our travel Christmas, waiting for the kind of list, the list to come out. But I actually got to write up two destinations this year, and the first was a very special place to me, which is the Ikara Flinders Range National Park in outback South Australia. I describe it as accessible outback. It's about a 5.5 hour drive from downtown Adelaide as you kind of go directly up, and you go through beautiful places like the Clare Valley. But once you are there, it is super magical. It is just stunning. And within the Ikara Flinders Ranges National Park, right in the center is something called Wilpena Pound. And it's this natural amphitheater that's about 8 times the size of Uluru. And it looks like a meteor has come down and crashed into it. It hasn't. It's just like a naturally forming arrangement. But it is stunning. It's stunning from the air. It's stunning from the ground. It's got an incredible bushwalking. The indigenous community there, that's really interesting. They'll take you to kind of view various rock art, etc. But it's also one of the places that we found the oldest dating fossils anywhere in the world.
Wow.
So 550 million years ago, these fossils are in this particular part of Australia. And David Attenborough is on record as saying it's one of the most fascinating places he's ever visited because of the discoverability of these first kind of forms of life, which is just kind of bonkers when you think about, actually, that's in our own backyard. That's not that far away.
And like many people, I haven't been there. I've been to quite a bit of Australia, but yeah, not to Flinders Range.
It is the gateway to the outback, which is really interesting. So you can kind of access towns like Cooper Pedy and other places such as this. And interestingly, this year we've had a lot of rain in central Australia, and so we're seeing Lake Eyre flood or fill up in a way that is really, really beautiful. And we were actually up there this weekend, and there were the amount of people that are there just to basically hop on flights to be able to see the phenomenon that is Lake Eyre filling up is I was gobsmacked by the amount of people that are kind of going there. So the word is getting out, which is great. You know, it's home to the most remote brewery in South Australia. It's home to all sorts of these really quirky, fun things. And it is just a great place to kind of get off grid. There is another a slightly left of centre place there called the Arkaroola Dark Sky Park too, where you can actually take a four-wheel drive tour. They'll take you to the rim of these cliffs and you'll sleep in a swag overnight and you'll just kind of see the night sky for what it's worth.
Yep.
It is. It really is a very sensational kind of part of Australia, and I'm really, really happy that it's on the list.
Good. Now, changing totally, we're going to go to the other side of the list, the not the destination, but the cultural experiences one. What off that list is the one that stands out to you?
So there's two that actually, both here in Victoria, which I found was super exciting. Mm-hmm. The first one is the Great a bathing trail, which is kind of a new thing here in Victoria, and it's kind of runs from Warrnambool right through to Metung, and it's where you kind of stop off on a major road trip through doing sea baths or going to hot springs or doing kind of mineral springs, and it's kind of loosely put, they've put a trail or a road trip together, and it's 885 kilometres,
right,
which is nuts.
What sort of bathing do you do along the way?
So you kind of, again, you go from doing sea baths to doing kind of like mineral baths or hot springs, and you kind of like you hop along the way. You don't have to do the whole trail, but it is like it's a road trip that you have to kind of pack your swimmers for, which I quite like, and you get to see probably a part of southern Victoria that we wouldn't necessarily think of in those terms, and it actually has generated a lot of interest overseas because, you know, obviously, you know, hot springs and mineral springs are kind of, and you know, that kind of spa mentality is a really big kind of tourism driver. So that's actually generated a lot of interest. And the other one that I love is the Melbourne food scene has hit the list, which is fantastic.
And what specifically? Is it the top-level restaurants or the diversity? Or?
It's actually about the breadth of the offering and getting you outside of the CBD and really kind of exploring the suburbs via its food. And this is the thing that I really, really love. Like, you know, when travellers go, we go to kind of France or we maybe go to Paris or we go to Rome, you kind of explore different areas to get a sense of the food. Similarly here in Melbourne, you can go out to kind of Footscray to get this kind of either amazing African cuisine or Vietnamese cuisine, right? The stuff that's going on in kind of Brunswick, Fitzroy, Collingwood is super interesting. Like I'm seeing, you know, like on my socials, I had a new Greek restaurant that I'm like, I've got to add that to my, add that to my list. Then you kind of go to those like more traditional areas off in Richmond that are kind of obviously got heavy Asian influence. I like the fact that food is taking us away from the city and we're exploring it a bit more. And then the fact that Melbournians are just obsessed with pastries, I find bizarre. So it also, we did a little bit of a deep dive into the phenomenon of the baked good and why it has piqued so many people's interest. I find it fascinating that I'll go to the South Melbourne market and look at the lineup at the bakery there, or you know, Loon in the CBD. I just find it fascinating that we're so obsessed with cruffins and cronuts and croissants and all that kind of stuff, all the words.
And yeah, and sometimes a very good place is right beside the one that's got the queue with no one in it. And yeah,
well, and this is kind of what we have always been about. It's about empowering people to explore. We've always said, like, we're a guide, we're not a prescription. So it is about kind of like highlighting these kind of amazing things, but also encouraging people to see that business that's maybe two doors down or in the street that's over. So this is all about, you know, empowering people to go exploring and kind of find their own way. So I love that this brings destinations and places out in very different ways.
Wow. And summer's coming. It is the time for people to have a few days off and get out, and all those places
totally
are accessible.
Yeah,
Flinders Ranges, the bathing trail, and the Melbourne places to eat.
And I love that, and internationally it's a really good planning piece as well. So it's a really good thing to get people kind of out there thinking about, where should I be thinking about my 2026 holiday if I'm going to go overseas? And I actually already have added one to my list immediately, so which is good. So it's actually inspired me to go somewhere different.
Do you have a favourite travel destination that you've been to?
I will answer that question slightly differently in where would I go back to?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I would go back to Iceland in a flash. Mm. So Iceland is just a very beautiful, amazing, quirky, interesting place. The population there is just fascinating. And it is one where it's the most booked community anywhere in all culture. So, the bookstore is actually like a central hub for community.
Yep, yep.
It is at the place where I was out and about and having a drink with some locals, and they were talking to me about the app to find out how connected and how related you are to people. So if you're out at a club and you're getting funky and you like quite like the person that you like dancing with, you tap your phones together and you find out how related you are. because Iceland,
it's such a small.
Well, also Icelanders didn't have an indigenous community, so it all came from settlers.
Uh-huh.
So, and it came from literally one family. So. So it's kind of like, how related are we?
That's
You know, and you find out that the Vikings stole a lot of the beautiful Irish women from the villages in Ireland, brought them over to Iceland, and that's how the red hair came to be within the Icelandic culture. So I just find all of that super fascinating. They believe in fairies. They believe in trolls. They believe in hidden people. It's amazing.
Excellent. On that note, Chris from Lonely Planet, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your knowledge. Please come back.
Absolutely. Thanks, Andy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.